The original Pali word is Patissasamuppada. We are going to talk about Patissasamuppada discourses. It will be a series. This discourse is considered by the Buddhist elders as one of the most important discourses to understand for those who are searching for total liberation. Next to the Four Noble Truths. Patissasamuppada, you will see quite a different translation. Some translate it as dependent origination, others dependent arising, causal arising, the law of causal relation, the law of cause and effect. Whenever these names comes up, it means it's talking about Patissasamuppada Sutta or discourses. This Patissa, that's two words, Patissa and Samuppada. Patissa, it means because of causes and condition. Due to causes and conditions, dependent upon causes and conditions. That's the meaning of Patissa. Samuppada is arising of effects, or you can say those that come into existence due to causes and conditions. Arising of effects due to causes and conditions, or those that come into existence due to causes and conditions. That's the meaning of Samuppada. And our elder has elaborated a lot more so that we could understand. So more precise in here, some nama and rupa, mind and matter, some mind and matter causes others' mind and matters to arise. Now become more precise. Some mind and matter causes others' mind and matter to arise. Nama rupa. If we are going to translate as close as possible to what the Buddha had said, it will run like this. Things conditioning others to arise. Things conditioning others to arise. So when Buddha delivered this sermon or discourses, Ananda, his personal attendant, he mentioned, well, this is quite straightforward and easy to understand. That's his comment. And Buddha said, Ananda, don't say like that. Okay. Because it is very deep and profound. Okay, on the surface, it looks very simple, straightforward, and easy to understand. But Buddha said it is a lot deeper and more profound than you can think, imagine, or reflect. And just like Ananda, you will think, this is quite straightforward and easy to understand. But the depth of this discourse is immeasurable. Okay, just today is more like an introduction. So I would like you to be familiar with how it sounds in Pali in the shortest form. Avijja vijja sankhara, sankhara vijja vijnanam, vijnana vijja namarupam, namarupa vijja salayatanam, salayatana vijja paso, pasa vijja vijnanam, vijnana vijja tanna, tanna vijja upadana, upadana pichaya bhava, bhava pichaya jati, jati pichaya jara marana, soka prideva, dukha domanasa, upayasa sambhavanti, evametasa kevalasa, dukha khandasa samudayo hoti. That's it. But to make you understand what I just recite is, if you are reading a book, you have contents. Okay, each chapter has a content, little title. And what I had just recited is that content or the title of the discourses. If one is going to recite a summarized form of Patisasamuppada, dependent arising discourses of each chapter, it will take you about 25 to 30 minutes, a brief form, and in a more detailed, elaborate form will be hours and hours. So, this is just the content or the title of the discourses of each chapter. So, in English, what does it mean in English? In English, is the because of the ignorance as condition or dependent upon the ignorance as condition, karma formation arises. Karma formation as conditions, consciousness arises, relinking consciousness. Relinking consciousness as condition, mind and matter arises. Mind and matter as condition, sixth sense basis arises. Sixth sense basis as condition, mental contact arises. Mental contact as condition, feeling arises. Feeling as condition, craving arises. craving as condition, clinging arises. Clinging as condition, life. Or karma, existence arises. Karma, existence as condition, rebirth arises. Rebirth as condition, old age, decay and death arises, along with sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, despairs. And thus a whole mass of suffering arises. That's what it means. It's 12 links. It is one is conditioning another, another can turn around and condition the others, and so on and so on. The Buddha explained the process of rebirth with 12 links connected through cause and effect. So even though there are these 12 links in a series, don't take it there's a starting point and there's the ending point. No, neither of the link is a starting point. It is an endless loop or a circle. Actually, what Buddha did is he showed us the way how samsara, cycle of birth and death, operates. Or how this birth and death is constructed based on the law of cause and effect. Not only he showed us how it's is constructed, this loop, this samsara. He also showed us how to break that cycle of birth and death or cessation of rebirth. He also showed us that way. And that is Patissasamuppada, how it's endlessly turning around and how it can be terminated or erased. But here, some people think that we need to know this Patissasamuppada thoroughly so that we can become liberated from kilesa or to be enlightened. But one doesn't need to know. One doesn't need to learn this discourses with the purpose of liberating oneself from kilesa or to escape from samsara. But knowing this can really help you to speed up the process that you are engaging, your practice. It can really speed up, especially for intellectuals who want to know everything, how it works before the direct experience. One need to study this. It gives clarity on intellectual understanding of the rounds of rebirth. This system, this process is in our mind and body. You don't have to go and look anywhere in the book or in the lectures. It's in our body. One can learn from life through intense observation and direct experience. You can learn from that too. You don't need to know the discourses ahead to be liberated. If you follow the instructions of how to precisely, you will come to know that. But at the same time, you can study and know ahead, and it helps you along your practice. And this Patissasamubbada is about ourself. We're not talking about something far out, far away. It's about ourselves. It's in our body. It's in our mind. So I would like here to expand a little bit on the concept of self. I, you, me, self, us. This self actually consists of two different units, made up of two different units. One unit is mind and one unit is matter or body. Mind and body, mind and matter. Two different units. We call it self. But under more elaborate presentation, but still practical enough to practice, to use, it consists of five different units called five aggregates of clinging. So you can look at this self as a two units, mind and matter, or five units, five aggregates of clinging, depending on your approach. So mind and matter, nama and rupa in Pali, mind and matter. Let's have a brief look into this nama and rupa, or mind and matter, or self. Buddha taught us dividing this rupa matter into 28 parts or 28 factors. Four out of that 28, we call it the primaries, Mahabuddha. And the remaining 24 are dependent upon these four primaries. Dependent upon the four primaries. Altogether, there are 28. But in this dependent arising discourses, Buddha doesn't use all these 28 to present or to communicate to us. But he only used one unit, a simple unit, simply as rupa, matter, or form. They are one and the same. Rupa, matter, body, or form. Just as one unit, a single one unit of material aggregate. And here he used that one unit. Now let's see the mind, nama. Nama to Buddha split into two parts, first and foremost. One part is called consciousness. Consciousness is knowing or awareness of an object. That's it, nothing more, nothing less. Consciousness is a phenomenon or a process of knowing or being aware of an object. Don't even know what object is, but an object. That's one part. Another part is called mental factors. Mental factors in Pali is called citta-sika, mental factors. These mental factors, they are the associates of consciousness. let's say in a long form, that's the top dog, top lawyer, and they have a lot of associates, and the whole thing become a law firm. Just like that, consciousness and these mental associates together, in English we call it mind. Mind equal to consciousness plus its associates or mental associates. Whenever there is awareness of an object, you become aware of an object. Based on the nature of the object, different types, different groups of mental factors arises. Not all arising every time, all the time. Whenever there's a awareness arises of an object, based on the nature of the object, different types or different groups of mental factors or mental associates arises. That's why one consciousness is different from another consciousness. The pivotal point is the nature of the object. And of course, if you want to go deeper, the attitude. Just for general information, there are 81 types of mundane consciousness, citta, and 40 ultra-mundane consciousness, lokottara citta. Mundane consciousness, lokiya citta, ultra-mundane consciousness, lokottara citta. So this consciousness, okay, that pure awareness of the objects, consciousness with mental factors together, what do? They record the object. They experience the object. They know the object with its attributes. And also, it reflects on the object. Together, that's what they do. Okay, there are all together 52 mental factors, citta-sika. Mental factors, mental associates, 52 of them, citta-sika. But not all 52 arises with consciousness. As I've said before, depending on the nature of the object, different types of mental associate arises. But there are 7 types of mental factors. 7 types of mental factors. They arises with every type of consciousness, regardless what. That's why they are called universal mental factors or common to all consciousness mental factors, common to all mental factors. Whenever there's a consciousness, these 7 mental factors are there all the time. So, what are these 7? In Pali, I'll just recite in Pali the whole thing. Passa, Vedana, Sanya, Setana, Manasikara, Ekagada, Jivitendriya. Those are the 7. They arises all the time together with every type of consciousness. Okay, the first one is passa. What is passa? Passa is the mental contact. Okay, mental contact. It arises whenever one knows an object. If one's become aware of an object, there's a mental contact. Without mental contact, one cannot be aware of the object. Once become aware of the object, there's a mental contact. That's passa. Short, straight, and brief. Excuse me. And the next one is vedana. Passa vedana. What is vedana? Vedana is due to this mental contact. Mental contact is the mind and object meets. Consciousness and object meets. Due to this mental contact, feeling arises. Feeling or the experience of the object arises. Feeling, the experience of the object arises. That's vedana. That's another mental factor. Third one is called sanya in Pali. Sanya is the marking. You make a mark. Marking or recording. Marking process or recording process of the object and its experience. You come in contact with the object, you mark and you record it so that you could remember. And also the experience, you mark and you record it. That is sanya. The third one we call it manasikara. One word translation is called attention. Okay. Manasikara is the process it applies repeated attention. It applies repeated attention to know the object. It replies repeated attention to know the object. That's manasikara. And the fifth one is cetana. C-E-T-N-A, cetana. One word translation is called volition. Or volition. Volitional urges to know more about the object. Volitional urges to know more about the object is cetana. One word, volition. And the sixth mental factor is called ekagata. Ekagata. So ekagata, what is ekagata? It is the work to sustain or to stick, to sustain or to stick the attention with the object. Stick with the object. First of all, attention, and then it sustain. It make the attention stick to the object, sustain to the object. That's ekagata. And the seventh one is called jivendriya. 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 Its function, the function of jivendriya is to activate a measured environment so that other mental factors or mental associates can do their job, can do their own job accordingly and as required. So that's Jivendriya. I'll repeat again. It activates a measure, environment or condition. So that other mental factors, this Jivendriya is also a mental factor, but its function is to activate a condition or environment so that other mental factors can do their job accordingly as necessary or required. Those are the seven. Okay, those seven arises whenever any type of consciousness arises. At a glance, these seven, it's important here, listen carefully. It looks like these seven mental associates are arising in sequence under the law of cause and effect. Seems like one is causing the other to arise and another causing the other to arise. More like a sequential order. Okay. At a glance, it looks like these seven mental factors are arising in sequence under the law of cause and effect. But here, I'm going to quote Buddha. Okay. In reality, all of these seven arise together. There's not one causing the other. All arises together and they do their own job. They fulfill their own functions and they disappear together. They arise together, do their own job, fulfill their own function, and when it finished, they disappear together. So important, these universal mental factors, seven of them, they are not one is causing the other to arise. They arise as a group together, do their job together and disappear together. But in the analytical, logical sense, it seems like one is causing the other to arise. So that's a little important thing to be aware of. These are the seven. Out of these seven, the first six are quite simple enough to understand. But this Jivendriya, Jivendriya. So I like to try, the word is try. I like to try and explain this word Jivendriya. So it's a combination of two words. One is called Jiva. Jiva in here, it means life. Life. And Indriya is the controlling faculty. So it is the controlling faculty of life or life controlling faculty. That is Jivendriya. And its function is to sustain life, to sustain existence, to sustain life. To coordinate life. That's function. So, Jivendriya, let's call it for communication purpose, a life force. Let's call it a life force. This life force actually has two components. One is physical and one is mental. Physical life force function is to sustain and balance the body, our body, or rupa form. That is what the physical life force function is. And mental life force function is to activate and sustain conditions, to activate and sustain conditions so that other mental factors can do their job respectively as necessary. They create an environment so that the others can work. This life force during Triya is also a mental factor, and there are other mental factors as well. It just create and activate an environment so that others can work. I'll try and use an example to explain this so that we have a little better clarity. Let's say a corporation, a society, organization, a company. This corporation, what is this when you say a corporation, ABC Corporation? There's a place, definitely. There's a place where many people can do their respective job to fulfill a purpose of the society or corporation. See, corporation equal places to work, place to operate, plus people who are operating. That's a corporation. So place, of course, an address, but actually it's a building. Okay, a building needs to maintain, repair. It needs to maintain and it needs repairing. That building of that address is the identity of the corporation. That building sustain or operates in that place. Sustain for operational activities. That's a building. And the people who works in that corporation, people have different responsibilities. To make it short, from the janitor right to CEO, they have their own functions. They are all doing their job. They do their job as required accordingly, so that the purpose of the corporation or the purpose of the society can be fulfilled. That's what a corporation is. Corporation is simply a name. And people and places. So there are three units in there. Whenever you say a corporation. So this society or organization or company or corporation, call what you will, it's vital for the people to work and a place to operate. It's vital for the people to work and operate at a location, at a place. As long as corporation is in good standing, every aspects are functioning very well. But once the corporation is cancelled, everything comes to cease. It stops. If the comparison is not in good standing order, it will be cancelled and everything come to a full dead stop. And at the same time, without the people and a place to operate, cooperation cannot exist. They are all interdependent. Okay. So look here, this place, a location, which give you a name, identity, is your body. This location, place can be identified as a body because it gives you the identity. Your body is the one that gives you identity, how you look, how you do, how you walk, and so on, how you smile. And all the people who are walking in this corporation, CEO to the janitor, they are the mental factors. Okay? Nama. Body is a rupa. Nama and rupa, mind and matter. That is the place and people. The body, the mental factors. This jivitendriya, or life force, is the corporation, the society, the organization. They are all interdependent. Without the life force, the body and the mental factors cannot exist. And at the same time, without the body and the mental factors, there's no jivitendriya, there's no life force, interdependent. But life force, or the society or corporation, give a place and a purpose and activities and responsibility to run. As long as the society in good standing, everything is running. Society stop, everything stop. When the life force stop, everything stop. The body stop, the mind stop. But at the same time, without the body and the mind, there is no life force. Keep that in mind. That is jivendriya. Life force. The seventh mental factor of the seven universal mental associates. So these mental factors, why am I explaining so much in detail? Let's look at this way. Consciousness. When a consciousness comes in contact with a pleasant object, okay, that's called passa. Consciousness or attention come in contact with a pleasant object. It creates a mental contact. At that moment, feeling arises. Or in other words, pleasant experiences arises. Pleasant experience, pleasant feeling arises. In Pali, sukha vedana arises. When a consciousness or attention come in contact with a pleasant object, at that moment, pleasant experience, pleasant feeling, or sukha vedana arises. That's the first two common mental factor, passa and vedana, mental contact and feeling. And at that moment, it records the object and the experience with the marks. Automatically, whenever you experience something new, what? You memorized it. You cognize it, you memorized it. That is sanya. Recording that experience with marks is sanya, perception. One word translation, sanya is perception. And then liking, loving, fond of these experience, these pleasant experience is called loba. Loba. Not craving. Simple, straightforward. Passa, mental contact, vedana, feeling, sanya, perception, and then loba. Of course, when you have this sanya, you already know. Okay, attention is there, the urges and volitions are there, one-pointedness is there, life force is there, already there. Without them, they cannot operate. But in here, the most prominent one is passa, contact, and vedana, feeling, and putting into your memory bank, sanya. And then, when you fall in love with that experience, that means loba, greed arises. The same thing here, we can apply it to another one. This consciousness or attention come in contact with the unpleasant object. Okay, unpleasant object. At that moment, it created a condition called passa, mental contact. Consciousness and unpleasant object. And at that moment, unpleasant feeling arises. Dukkha vedana arises. Okay, consciousness and unpleasant object come in contact. A feeling, specifically unpleasant feeling, arises. And that unpleasant feeling is, in Pali, dukkha vedana. Simply, unpleasant feeling. And then sanya, of course, perception. It records that object and that experience, and my words, put it into the memory bank. That's what sanya does. And this is simply an experience of an unpleasant object, an unpleasant feeling, just the feeling itself. But having aversion or having dissatisfaction to the unpleasant feeling is dosa or domanasa. Dosa or domanasa. Dosa is the physical aversion. Domanasa is the mental aversion. Arises. These seven common universal mental factors are always in operation, and depending on whether you like it or you don't like it, other mental factors come in. stronger, more powerful, that can take you to a certain path, like greed. Attached, cling, grasp, or aversion, hate, ill will. These things arises. That is how it goes. That's why the first seven doesn't have these kind of extreme tendency. They are, you can call it neutral, neither wholesome or unwholesome. When you go to hatred, it becomes unwholesome. When you go to love and compassion, it go to wholesome. That's how it goes. So the principle is, when knowing of an object arises, first of all, you know there's an object. That means mental contact. Knowing of an object arises, when at that time, based on the nature of the object, different kinds of mental formations will arise. Love, hate, jealousy, envy, and so on. They will arise. And the mind and matter, just the two of them, is divided into five groups that represent what we call self. They are called five aggregates of clinging. By name, it is aggregates of body, rupa khanda. It's a group of materiality. And also, vedana, feeling, vedana khanda, aggregates of feeling. It's a group of experiencing. It's a group arising out of experiencing or experience, vedana khanda. And sanyak khanda, perception, okay, body of perception. It's a group of marks making, a group of marks making or recording, sanyak khanda. And then sankharak khanda, it's a group of mental formation, more precisely 50 mental factors led by volition, chetana, led by volition. In general, you can call it a group of actions, mental actions, verbal actions, physical actions, sankhara khanda. And then the fifth one is called vijnana khanda, or consciousness. In other words, it's a group of knowing processes. A group of knowing processes. Vijnana khanda. Aggregates of consciousness. Aggregates of body. Aggregates of feeling. Aggregates of perception. Aggregates of mental formations. And aggregates of consciousness. Those are the five. Those five are representation of the self. As this dependent origination is going to talk about self, we need to understand what self is from the Buddhist point of view. So may all of you be able to study and understand dependent arising, which is about the cycle of birth and death, and may you be able to apply it in your practice and progress faster and better as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much.